Welcome to the Excel Pod.
Welcome to Scripture Spotlight, where the text is the star of the show. I'm Corey.
I'm Garrett.
And we are in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27, starting a new study on being like Paul, part 1. We'll get to be like Paul, part 2, when we get over to chapter 3. But this is be like Paul, part 1, still looking at this idea of others before self. And two things before we get into our study today. Number one, I apologize for my voice. I've got allergies going on, which a lot of people in our part of the world does right now. Number two, I had said that this would be episode 100, but it was because I hadn't kept up the proper count on our podcast records. But next episode will be our 100th episode, and we're excited about that. And it just shows all the ways that the Lord is blessing what we're trying to do, that there's still people listening to this after 100 episodes of it. But
suffered with us 100 days.
That's right. But we're thankful for that. But let's get into Philippians 1 and look at verse 27 today. And then the rest of this section we'll look at tomorrow in our 100th episode. But in verse 27 of chapter 1, he says, "Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit and with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel." And so it's easy to see why we're only going to look at this one verse today. There's a lot packed in that verse. But first of all, he says that when our manner of life ought to be, we ought to conduct ourselves in a way that's worthy of the gospel of Christ. How is that?
Yeah, that's something that he's going to emphasize, obviously, in other books as well, that idea of walking in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. But essentially, the idea is that because you've been saved by the gospel of Christ, because you are a Christian and have put on the name of Christ, then you need to live your life in a way that reflects Christ's name.
Yeah, and you can do that in a variety of ways, but in context, he's talking about selflessness, and in particular, the good news of Jesus. When we talk about what he did in his death, burial, and resurrection, the idea that Jesus was selfless. Sometimes we use this verse to talk about, you know, conducting yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel. Don't use bad words or dress appropriately or something like that. But in context, it's very similar to what he's going to say over in chapter 4. And verse 2, if you would, Garrett, flip over to chapter 4 and verse 2. That's really the idea that he's focused on here about walking worthy of the gospel.
Yeah, he's going to be emphasizing their conduct. Chapter 4 and verse 2 says, "I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord." So again, that idea of conduct and living with this humble attitude that he's going to be emphasizing here.
The gospel has to do a lot with unselfishness, and he's really going to deal with that in chapter 2 when talking about Jesus. But Paul's example of unselfishness, of putting others before self, should encourage us to live worthy of the gospel in an unselfish way, putting others before self. If Jesus was willing to die on a cross, not because he deserved it, but for my sake, if he can be that selfless, then as he'll say in chapter 2, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus," to be selfless as well. So how do we do that? Well, we've got to stand firm, he says, in a few areas. First of all, in one spirit, Garrett.
Yeah, you're going to stand in one spirit. He's going to say later in chapter 2 and verse 2 that you're united in spirit. But the idea is that, you know, you've got the same goals. You're striving with the same purpose. You have that sense of camaraderie and community within the church. And so there's not going to be things pulling you apart. Instead, there should be things that are, you know, pulling you together in that way.
Yeah, he has a similar term, not the same term, You're right. It's the same point he made in 2:2, but in 2:20, he uses a similar term. The ESV says, "I have no one like him," talking about Timothy. But some translations, I think you're using New American Standard.
Yeah, New American Standard says, "I have no one else of kindred spirit."
Yeah, or like-minded, some translations say. But mm-hmm. it's the same kind of idea of having the same spirit, the same idea or focus. And then he says also that in order to have this right kind of selflessness, we've got to we've got to stand firm in one spirit, but we've also got to stand firm in one mind.
Yeah, this word mind here is going to be one of our key words throughout this book. It's only the second time that it's used in the book so far, but you're about to see like this whole cluster of that being used. In chapter 2 and verse 2, he says, "By being of the same mind," that's the same word. At the end of that verse, in 10:01, purpose, that's the same word. Humility of mind in chapter 2 and verse 3. Having this attitude in chapter 2 and verse 5, and then humbling himself in chapter 2 and verse 8. There's this huge cluster of repeating that word over and over. But the idea is obviously there that you're focusing on this, having this same mentality of humility.
Yeah.
And that's the focus of repeating that word so much. But that's what he's trying to get at here.
Yeah, you don't need to have two minds. You got to put your personal agenda aside. Mm-hmm. And Paul's personal agenda would have gotten in the way of the spread of the gospel. He's talked about that in chapter 1 all through this, but he didn't. Their problem was that they were selfish. They've got to get to the point that they have the same goal. If they're going to have the same goal, then something has to give. You know, in sports, everybody wants to be the quarterback or the pitcher or whoever's in the limelight. Mm-hmm. The way basketball teams win is when the stars of the basketball team or the stars of the football team or whatever are willing to be unselfish, to sacrifice for the greater good. Paul says we all got to be on the same page. And in any church, people are going to have different agendas. You know, they may be, for some people it's youth, for some it's benevolence or whatever, but we've all got to be on the same page, and that is to save souls has to be our goal. We've got to create a circumstance where everyone has one spirit and one mind. And he wants them to be this way, whether he's there or not, whether he can come back or not. Sometimes selfishness is too prevalent in churches. To be disorganized is one thing, but we got to be pulling in the same direction. We got to like each other. We got to love each other. We got to work together. And that tone has to be set by the elders, by the leaders, to strive side by side for the faith of the gospel.
Yeah, and I think it's important to note the motivation behind it that he also brings up. He says, "Whether I come to see you or remain absent, that I'll hear of you having this one spirit and one mind." It's not about, you know, maybe in case they had the temptation to just say, "Okay, guys, we got to straighten up because Paul's about to be here." You know, it's not about, "Okay, well, Paul's hearing that we have this negative attitude," or "Paul's about to come check up on us, so we've got to make sure we get our act together before he gets here." It's not about Paul. He says it's about the gospel. And that's an important motivation because, you know, earlier he talked about whether it was, whether he should die or live. It shouldn't matter, you know, if Paul is living or dying or if he's writing to him or not. And he said the point is you should be doing this because of the gospel, because of what Christ has done for you, because of the gospel of Christ, the name that you're wearing, and for the sake of spreading that gospel on further. You know, you've got to be a connected, unified community if you're ever going to expect the church to continue to grow in that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's changed the metaphor from a soldier standing at his post to a team struggling for victory against a common foe. But the point is the same with both of those metaphors. The point he's making in this verse is the necessity of oneness is vital if you're going to win spiritual battles. He's going to talk about that more in chapter 2, about humility and self-sacrifice and how that Jesus is the epitome of that. But here he's setting the scene by trying to use himself as an example here in chapter one of that I could have been selfish in all this, but I chose not to. And I need you to put others before self as well. So we'll get into more of that Paul's example in the rest of this section that we're looking at here in Philippians chapter one at the end of this chapter. We hope that you will be with us for that study tomorrow, our 100th episode. We hope that you will like, share, subscribe, comment, leave a rating, whatever you need to do to get the word out on social media and wherever you get podcasts at, that you'll tell others about this. Most of all, we hope that you'll dedicate 5 to 10 minutes every day with us as we study to see what the message of God's word is, just letting it speak for itself, because here on Scripture Spotlight, the text is the star of the show.